Pittsburgh, I love ya. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's cultural talk magazine, delivered digitally, straight up, shaken, and stirred. Tonight's broadcast brought to you by our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Zafalo's Banquet and Event Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, one of the most beautiful and unique venues in the greater Pittsburgh area for weddings, corporate dinners, fundraisers, and more. Visit clubzafalo.com. Off the Wall Theater, enlivening, educating, and entertaining audiences in the Pittsburgh region. View their current season at insideoffthewall.com. Arcade Comedy Theater, hosting local and national comedians, sketch comedy, improv, and more. 811 Liberty Avenue, downtown. Be sure to like them on Facebook or find them at arcadecomedytheater.com. Berg Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. You can learn more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. Jezebel Bebbington d'Opulence. Now, is that the New Jersey d'Opulence is, or the
actual West Virginia opulence?
Oh, yes? Yeah. Is that where Jezebel is from?
Actually, it originated in Puerto Rico. It moved to Florida and crawled right up here to Pennsylvania and sneaked around the West Virginia panhandle, and here we are in Pittsburgh.
And here in Pittsburgh, you are a professional female impersonator and certainly one of the most well-known in this city, if I may say so. I have seen you do Tina Turner better than Tina Turner. It's amazing.
Well, thank you very much. I do enjoy what I do here in the city, and I am currently stationed in a club called The Link, and that is in Harmony, PA. We have been there for 12 years, opening for new talent. We had some major drag stars from all over, and we have a good time. It's been there for 12 years. We're celebrating our 12 year net coming up now, and it's going to be amazing.
How long have you been performing?
I have been performing. I started, it's a funny story. You might want to grab your martini for that.
Got it.
I had a boyfriend in Fort Lauderdale, okay, and he left me for a week telling me that he was going to see his grandmother, but the rascal went out and sneaked out on me, right? Well, I find this out. I left alone by myself. I had no money. And there was this drag contest this night, and I called my friend up and I said, like, you have to help me. I have to get to this drag contest. And this was 1989. And that's the first time that I did drag. I didn't win the contest, but I did end up making a lot of friends, a lot of connections. Again, you know, it was out of necessity that Jezebel was born.
So
I always say that.
Have you seen the art of drag change since then?
Oh my goodness, yes. It has changed so much. It has changed, the physicality of it, more dance, less drag, more drag. It's such a variety now. Back in the 80s, we had Gloria Gaynor, and we had the disco era, and we had all the great ladies, you know, Judy Garland. We were still doing Diana Ross. We were still doing all that. Now there's so many different artists that we can emulate and impersonate. It's just an arrange, you know, from RuPaul down to Katy Perry. It's just such a variety nowadays. Very different.
Now, it seems to me that there are those that do drag more as a hobby and others that really have committed to it as a profession. What do you feel is the difference?
Absolutely. When you have a hobby, you tend to get very passionate about, and I think it just goes from hobby into lifestyle, into professional career, and some people just stop at a hobby. Mm. You know, some people just they just want to have a good time. They don't want to take it any further than that. So to be a professional, you really have to put in the time. I tell everyone that I encounter and ask me what to do to get into performing and drag and you know, get around in the club circuit. It's very difficult. You have to put in your time. You have to support you have to better yourself and make sure that you have an act together to present. You don't want to just grab a Britney Spears song and start singing to it if you have not rehearsed, and you have not even thought of what you're going to wear, how you're going to perform it, how you're going to do it in front of your peers, because you're doing it for the LGBT community first off, and then the regular community, the other people are going to enjoy it also.
So as someone who's been a professional since 1989, have you helped others get their start?
I love to help others. I have. And it's always rewarding to see them succeed. And that's the only satisfaction I get out of.
But what would you recommend for this? Something to accentuate the cheekbones?
You have great skin.
You think?
So you are set to go.
Because you know it's...
All you have to do is paint and go.
Because you got to have a good canvas to work
with
to begin with. And that's been where I've kind of...
You have a magnificent...
Thank you. Thank you. Well, if I decide to change careers...
You give me
I will certainly seek your counsel.
Yes, you better. So
coming up March 30th, you will actually be starring in a production with Corning Works here at the New Hazlett Theater. Now, has your career in drag ever intersected with stage work in the theater before?
Well, as a matter of fact, one of the first experiences I had on stage was thanks to Corning Works and Beth Corning, who I'm working with now. And she gave me the chance to get up on the New Hazlett Theater and start my stuff about 6-7 years ago, I think. I don't know, something like that. And she bit me, you know, and
She does that, I've heard,
yes,
yeah.
I got the bug, I got the theater bug. And so, you know, fast forward to now, I did some things in between that I'm proud of, you know, just 5 minutes of fame here and there. I also opened for Chaka Khan. Gay Pride.
Wow!
2014, that was a biggie, yeah.
Now, were you dressed as Chaka Khan?
No, actually,
okay.
I did Jennifer Lopez to open for her. I figured, you know, well, she's going to give it the soul. I better do the little laugh.
Right, right. Spanish. That would have been probably poor taste to open for somebody while also impersonating them.
She was such a wonderful, wonderful guest and so pleasant and so adorable that I don't think she would have minded.
Who are some of the celebrities that you frequently will impersonate?
I usually go for the Latinos.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because the Puerto Rican heritage. I absolutely love Tina Turner, Donna Summer, Diana Ross, throw in a little Laura Branigan.
Gloria.
Yes,
Gloria.
And Gloria Gaynor.
Mm-hmm. All the Glorias.
All the Glorias, yeah. And all the disco queens. Those are my specialty, honey, because I love to boogie.
As do I.
Yeah.
Very good. Now, will you be playing yourself in this production, or will you be playing a character?
This is the piece that is going to make us seek into our own inner selves and bring out some of the things that are been brewing in there for however many years. You want to think if we've been holding on to it. And we're going to give a little piece of our hearts and our souls on this piece. I know that.
Yeah, from what I've seen from Corning Works in the past, it is always so visceral and moving and deep, and you know, really gets at those dark corners of humanity. Really, you walk away, you know, thinking about things. And you know, I think there might be this stigma about a dance piece, everybody thinks about ballet, but no, it is truly very, very deep art on that stage with Corning Works.
Well, you have Beth Corning, who has an amazing repertoire,
yes,
and it's such a great history and experience. What else could you expect? But the best and the most outrageous, and all with a lot of feeling and sentiment.
So approaching a performance and a production such as the one that you are working on here, which
Right Away,
which is Right Away.
Yes.
How is that different? And I'm assuming that it is in many ways from, you know, your approach to a performance, you know, as Jezebel doing maybe Tina Turner in one of the clubs.
Well, that's a good question, because everyone's been asking since the starting the flyers and the rumors and all the planning that we've been doing, me and Beth, for the past probably 4 or 5 months. And everyone asks, is this going to be a drag show? Well, there is drag, there is other elements, and so don't expect your basic pedestrian drag show. Mm. That's all I'm telling you. And don't expect your average performance piece, artistic performance piece, because it's going to be something that is not been tried before in the area. So we're going to test the waters. With
Profound on both those levels, because and we touched on it a little earlier in our chat that drag is such a vast term. You know, it encompasses art, it encompasses hobby, and just recently, I mean, in the last, you know, decade, especially with you know, a lot of attentions it's got from some of the reality television shows, RuPaul, for one, have really brought the art of drag into a spotlight like never before. What are your thoughts on some of those programs?
I love the fact that it has been so visible, and I love the fact that it is so accepted. What I don't like is the fact that sometimes we define what we see on TV as what you come to see, you know, in your local area or your local gay bar or your local theater or wherever it is that you're going to go see a drag show or anything that has to do with us girls, drag queens and female impersonators, whatever you want to call us, just don't call us late for a cocktail. And you have to make sure that what your expectations is, like, I consider that a little bit of porn, you know, what the reality TV is doing to drag, which is great. Everybody's allowed and welcome to it. But when you come in to your local area, don't be expecting, you know, fireworks and things coming from the ceiling, because it's not the reality of it. We have small budgets. We have a small area to perform and a small crowd that we adore. But we put it all out there for those people that come to see us weekly. I have probably like 2-3 shows a week. Mm-hmm. And if you have a show with 10 people, that's wonderful. If you have a show with 100, that's amazing. You know, it doesn't matter. You put it out there for however many people. And you gotta do it, because you never know when the next time, well, everybody's gonna tell those 10 people that there was a fabulous show and Jezebel was amazing. And next show, you have 100 people in the show, and that's how you build it up. And, you know, it's hard to explain that to people.
Yeah, the commitment, you know, time-wise and financially, too, to that. I mean, I imagine with the outfits and the jewelry and the makeup and the hair, I mean, it's incredible.
Well, that's why we always have to have a day job.
Oh, yeah?
And I do makeup and hair, so...
Well, that makes perfect sense,
exactly.
Then.
Exactly. I fell right into that one, but you know what, it is probably the most advantageous career that you can have if you want to be in the entertainment period, you know, because you always have to look your best. At least I try. And of course you have to have a certain knowledge of hair and makeup, because you're not going to go out there all busted. That's not.
And that is a term in the drag community for, I would presume, not looking your best.
It's not looking best. It's not looking right. In other words, your makeup is terrible.
So you're a bust.
In the words of the great Alaska, your makeup is terrible, darling.
Now, how do you define yourself then as a performer? There are quite a few out there, I know. So what sets Jezebel apart from all the rest?
I've always been the one that gets along with everybody.
Miss Congeniality.
I can't be mad at anyone. If you come out with a horn, you come out and you do crazy things on stage, I will applaud you, because you have the charisma and the attitude to go out there. You know, you can't take that away from somebody that goes and does something in public. That is... okay, you know.
I'm going to make sure you're in the audience every show I do from now on, front row, I'm telling you.
I do. I'm a very generous. When I judge pageants, you know, the drag pageants that we have in the clubs and in our community, I try to be so nice. Sometimes it's very hard, but I try to be the nice judge, you know, the Paul Abdul or the Jennifer Lopez.
I bet you do a great Paul Abdul.
I do.
Oh my God.
I love my Paul Abdul period. It was, yes, when I used to wear my hair all straight and the boys would always go for all kinds of, you know, compliments. Ooh, that was beautiful. And I was like, okay, we'll do it again.
So what do you feel that you will bring to Right of Way with Corning Works?
Well, I think that Right of Way is such a collaboration between Beth and myself that probably we needed each other to have this come to fruition. I needed her, she needed me. And what I'm bringing is certain things that Beth wasn't familiar with, which, you know, we very much instructed her in all those ways. And
like knowing what busted is.
Yes, and busted.
Did she know busted before this show?
There was other terms too that I don't want to mention.
Are there any that are mentionable though on an interview?
Well, you have to come see the show.
Okay, I got you.
You have to come see the show, and you'll know exactly what I mean. You go like, girl.
And, you know, without, you know, spoiling too much about what we'll see here at the Hazlett, Right of Way, one of the themes that it deals with is gender identity. Is that correct?
It is a topic that we are going to explore, and for obvious reasons. Obviously, I'm going to portray, you know, somebody who is battling and transitioning and sort of like real life, but we're going to dabble into much deeper waters mm-hmm. that are going to take our audience more into other things besides just gender equality.
So what is it your hope that people who come to see this will walk away with? What they may walk away thinking or feeling as a result of having seen this?
I think that they will take with them something that, you know, they're going to keep wondering, why are we this way? Why do we make it so it's all so black and white? You know, a boy or girl. It's nothing in between. It just doesn't leave a lot of room. So we're going to try and open your mind, broaden your horizon, sort of try to explain a little bit of what's going on around you, because I'm out here all the time. I'm around everyone that is probably going to come to see the show.
Now, how do you feel about the Pittsburgh community as it relates to drag? I mean, you've performed in other cities. You know, you've seen, you know, how things go, how things are accepted. What are your perspectives on Pittsburgh?
I like Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is a sweet, sweet town. I think that everyone here has sort of a sisterhood, brotherhood, camaraderie deal. You notice that when everybody is cheering for their teams, you know, we won, and you think you're like, when was the last time you ran a goal?
Right.
Or whatever it is, whatever sports thing. I have no idea about sports. But you know what I mean? Like, we won. Right. It's like, girl, I did not see you on that field.
So what were you doing Super Bowl Sunday this year?
Oh, probably eating carbs.
Oh, yeah?
That's my favorite way to spend a Sunday, cheating on my diet. But we did watch Lady Gaga. That was so fun.
There you go. Okay. I did something for everybody. See?
Exactly.
There you go.
I thought it was excellent, and it was something to watch.
So when you are not working or eating carbs,
yes.
What do you like to do around town?
Well, I have a lot of friends, and we like to go out to eat or maybe go visit another friend and, you know, lift their spirits up.
Oh, that's nice.
Make sure that they're in a good place, you know, because sometimes you don't know. Yeah, your friends, and you text, hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm okay. But, you know, sometimes it's good to go and make sure that that friend is okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, text, it's gotten to a time now, everybody with the phones and everything, it's just like, oh, she's fine. See, he's fine.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes they're not fine.
You need the FaceTime.
Exactly. Especially in our community, we face so many things against us. So it's good feeling for me to make sure that someone else is feeling good.
As a professional female impersonator, what do you feel is the hardest thing about what you do?
I'll take another swing at that.
Please.
The hardest thing probably is to get people to understand that we are just making a little fun for ourselves, making our world a little better, making sure that we're always up and our spirits are high and good, in a good place. I love to make fun of my audience, and the audience love it, even, you know, that they're laughing, even though I'm making fun of them right then and there. Like I told this one girl, she was there with all her friends for her bachelorette party, and I just poked to her and told her, so that, well, I hope you lose all that weight before the wedding. Well, the wedding is tomorrow. I was like, oh, too late for that. You know, like, and she was laughing so hard.
Well, good.
Yeah. It's something that is expected from us, you know. Oh, don't sit in the front because the queen is going to get you. So I love it. I love what I do. It gets me out of my bad place. Definitely throughout the hardest times in my life, I looked to my entertaining career, and it has gotten me out of bad places that, you know, we tend to get in. For one, whatever reason, you know, ex-boyfriends, they want.
Oh yeah,
hello.
Weird about that. Mm-hmm. But you made good by that. I mean, that was how your story began.
Kind of like, sort of like Adele. You know, she broke up with her boyfriend and wrote a hit song. Well, I broke up with that idiot and found myself a new career, a new life.
So wait, you're talking about the song Hello, right? That just came out? Was that a true story? I didn't know that. I thought that was just for the video.
She wrote it about somebody that broke up with her. Wasn't too kind. So.
Hello from the other side.
Yes, that's how I feel sometimes.
I've been calling calling people and saying that. That's how I begin phone conversations.
Oh, really?
Is that terrible?
Well, it has been a while since I talked to people on the phone. You know what I mean? I'd rather go and look at them and see how...
I appreciate that.
Yes.
I really do. Because, we are becoming so antisocial now.
Yeah.
It's just so easy to see what everybody's doing on Facebook.
And I mean, they're going to love this online.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to go like, oh, my God, she's crazy. And I only had, like, a sip of the martini, just so you know.
Well, and we hope they all come to see right of way at the Hazlet, the March 30th through April 3rd. Now, these audiences may be a little different from what you're accustomed to at, you know, say, a club. Are you prepared for that?
I am absolutely prepared for it. I've been dreaming about this day. I've been getting ready, just like in the words of the great Erica Kane. Honey, I've been battling and dieting my whole entire life for this.
Well, congratulations. Cheers to you. We are looking forward to seeing you on stage with Beth Corning in Right of Way.
Right of Way. Thank you very much.
In closing, we would like to once again thank our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Off the Wall Theater, Cefalo's Banquet and Events Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, Arcade Comedy Theater, Downtown, and Bergvivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. Find out more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. And be sure to follow Pittsburgh's Cultural Talk magazine online. You can find Bergvivant, the It in Pittsburgh, on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribe for free at www.bergvivant.com. This is Brian Edwards saying cheers and good night.